those searchlights up on the tower. Right now. Move, move.
I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.
Hello, I'm Herb, and welcome to Community Spotlight. We often bring in a local member of our community, and today we've got Dinos Jorkas. Good morning, Dinos.
Good morning, Herb. Good morning, everyone.
Well, thanks for coming in and talking to me. We're going to go on a bit of a journey. You've got an interesting story to tell. You were born in Cyprus.
Correct.
In 67.
Yes, I'm showing my age.
Yes. In the capital of Nicosia.
Correct, yes.
Do you remember much about Cyprus?
Yeah.
Growing up?
We were a close-knit family. My dad came from a family of 11 children, 33 first cousins. After that, they got married and they got 68 kids underneath that.
Right, yep. So you came to Australia when you were about 6 and a half?
Yes, that's correct.
And you tell me that it was because the Turkish government sent troops in under the guise of training in Cyprus. It ended up being a war.
Yes. They came to protect their own people, the Turkish Cypriot people, because the Greeks were actually carrying on between themselves, and they decided to send the army as training. And then after that, they ended up getting 40% of the country.
So how long did the war last?
There was two rounds of it, and we left after the first round. It stopped, I think it was in 76 or 77.
So 74 to 77.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a long period too for a country to be in turmoil.
But Cyprus, if you know the location of it, it's always been in war with everybody. There was 12 different empires before Jesus and even after that, yeah, yeah, as well.
So as you said, your father come from a big family, 11 children.
Yep.
Now you came out, not under the government scheme when you were 6 and 5, the government didn't bring you out, but there was a local sponsor. Tell me about the local sponsor.
Well, it was my immediate auntie's family, the Rolagasses, which sponsored us. Otherwise, we would have never been able to come over here, unfortunately.
So that's Maria and Lucas?
Yes, that's it.
So you came over with Peter, one brother, who is a real estate agent now at Huskers and Harlow. Anthony's up in Brisbane.
Yep.
You tell me, and yourself and your mum and dad, where did you live first?
We lived in the Rolagas Flats, and then we got sponsored by the Sozzi family, which found us a house in 49 Dangar Street.
Where was the connection with the Sozzi family?
They were linked with the Rolagasses, right. And they also were working, Con was actually working for the Rolagasses at the time.
Right, so just to repeat that, so it wasn't the government scheme where a lot of other people are repatriated. It was basically just family connections,
yes,
that brought you out of that turmoil to Australia. So do you remember arriving in Australia for the first time?
It was by train. We were all suited up. Even kids over there in Cyprus have suits. So we were all dolled up, fancy little frilly shirt in front, and we all came with a hard-cased suitcases in hand.
So it was by plane you came over?
We came by plane. We landed in Olympic Airways. We landed in Singapore. Then we came to Sydney. No, we went to Athens first and then Singapore and then to Sydney. And then we caught the train to Armada.
The slow train up the hill.
Oh, it wasn't it ever, the old red rattlers.
Yes. And what was your first impression of Australia? Any first impressions that lasted with you?
No, not really. We were still in shock on what happened with the war, and it stuck with me, actually.
Was it summertime or wintertime?
It was March, so...
So, about now.
Yeah.
Going into autumn. So, a nice time to visit Australia. So, you went to school at Armidale City Public.
Correct.
And you tell me that you knew no English whatsoever.
Not a single word.
But you had cousins?
Yes.
And brothers going to the same school?
I was in the actual, what do you call it, infants department, and my brothers were in the primary. I was in second class, and my brothers were actually in the different part of the school. So infants and primary were separated.
So did you have any of the family members from the Rolagasses or the...
Yeah, one cousin at the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So tell me about your experience coming to Australia, knowing no English, and at that time, in 75, there would have been a fair bit of sort of racism against anybody that didn't speak English, wasn't the same as, you know, you weren't born here. Tell me about that. How was that to cope with?
Well, pretty frightening, not knowing what people were saying to you, which while I was learning English, it really didn't bother me. I didn't understand that it was racism. But when they started physically abusing, that's when it got a bit harsh.
Implying that you became the punching bag.
Yeah.
That's very unfortunate, but hopefully we've moved on from that situation. I mean, that was a time in the 70s. I mean, my wife also had a lot of racism. She came from Turkey.
Yeah. Whenever I see you downtown, we always have a bit of a talk if we've got the time.
Yeah, yeah. No, she's always up for a chat.
Yes.
But, yeah, that's very, very unfortunate, that period, particularly the 70s, when we had a lot of different nationalities, the Greeks, the Italians, the Turk, all coming post-Second World War, I suppose, too, you know, factory fodder, because we'd lost a whole population of men in the Second World War and subsequent wars. But our white society, I suppose, treated them very poorly, even though they'd actually come to reignite our economy.
Yeah, well, as I said, we came with just a suitcase in our hands, and that was it. We had to flee different parts of the Cyprus to avoid the war. We moved 4 different locations. In order for us to re-establish ourselves, Dad found work at the university as a kitchen hand, and Mum found work at the bakery, in a local bakery.
After Armidale City, you went to Jervell High.
Correct, yeah.
And how did you enjoy that? You would have been speaking English then.
Yeah, I was, and I knew exactly what was going on. I could finally mix with a few people and make friends with them as well, which was good.
Yep. Yeah. And you got, what was your first job?
First job was working at the Seven Brothers building, actually, as a kitchen hand assistant chef.
So that was owned by the Roller Gases. That's in the East Mall there.
Yes.
And you were, what, 16 or 17 when you went there?
Yes, that's right.
Probably around 84 then.
Yes.
And then that closed down, that restaurant, unfortunately.
Yep.
You tell me you went and worked at Kmart.
Yes, from 1987 to 1993, where they had a fair few redundancies. Then they figured out that they wanted us back because the young ones who they were trying to teach, nobody there to teach them because all the experienced, mature people, they turfed us out, and then they reinstated us whoever wanted the job back in 94 again.
I think that happens all too often in these large companies. Somebody comes in and says, we can reduce prices and restructure, but once you actually take the corporate knowledge, which is what you're talking about, taking the corporate knowledge out of the organisation, who's left to train the young ones that actually run the company?
Exactly. I mean, we had all the experience behind us, and we were the ones actually teaching the new ones through the field.
So about that same time you went to Kmart, you actually started a DJing
job as well,
company.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Well, my brother had it envisioned, and it passed through their hands, and then I bought it off my brother. And I don't think he had a name for it, but I named it A to Z Disco. And now we also provide a karaoke service for it.
So back then, 87 to about 2003, I think you told me, weddings, 21st, parties, you do the DJing?
Yep, and Christmas parties, New Year's Eve, sports presentation nights.
Yeah, anytime you wanted some music. Now, and Tats, you were the resident Tats
resident DJ from, I think it was 1998 until 2003 when I stopped it. And then I was also a resident DJ for Rob College dues at the college and Albies as well.
So I want to go back to your time when you found that racism was ripe in Australia. Do you think music was something that you turned to as a bit of an escape or a...
an outlet, yeah.
An outlet. What were you listening to back in during school?
Well, I started listening to The Angels, Dragon, Mondo Rock, Cold Chisel.
Akadaka.
Akadaka, of course, and that's my favourite group. Akadaka, I didn't realise... my brother actually put me onto him, Peter, and I just can't get enough of him now. Whenever I'm in a down depression sort of a state, I always pump that music up. and let her rip and scream and sing along to them as much as possible.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're talking about, Dinos.
Yep.
So yeah, so music for you has been, you probably didn't do much music back in Nicosia in Cyprus, but basically you turned to music as a bit of an outlet or a support thing.
Well, thinking about it now, I used to drive my next door neighbours nuts because I used to build drum kits with buckets and Milo tins on sticks, and I used to just bash them like you wouldn't believe. But also my grandpa from my mum's side, he was a violinist and he used to play for weddings and all that.
Basically about 2007 you went to Big W?
Yes.
And I think my daughter then worked under you. You were her supervisor?
Yeah, I'm on checkouts, yeah.
On checkouts, and she says to me, I said, I've got Dinos in, and she said to me, I'll say hello, and he was always my favourite, she says.
Well, I always try to liven up the atmosphere working there, try and communicate and teach people as much as I knew back then, and they appreciate it, so that's why.
Well, you must have been doing your job pretty well, mate, because you were there from 2007 to 2021.
Yeah, when they closed the door on us, so that was a bit of a shock to the system, but that's the way the cookie crumbles on occasions and you just have to face it.
Yep. Now tell me about that. You've made many visits back to Cyprus since you left. Tell me about those visits.
Yeah, well, I went there last year and there was four weddings I attended, one christening, I ran about five or six birthdays. It was always good to catch up with all the cousins, and I try and meet up with all of them and meet up with their kids and then their grandchildren as well now. It's becoming a real huge family, so it's good to catch up with them.
You said your dad had 11 children in his family, and how
he
many?
He was one of 11.
One, yes. Of 11. So out of 11 children from your in your father's family,
yeah.
How many descendants have you got?
There was 33 first cousins,
yeah.
And underneath them there were 68 kids.
68 kids.
And then underneath them, as I said, most of them are married now as well, and they've each got at least two or three kids each underneath them.
All right. On your mum's side, was it a big family as well?
No, she only had two sisters.
But there's plenty of people that you went back to visit.
Oh, I was staying with them most of the time, and I was trying to split up my time between mum's family and dad's family as well.
Do you find that Cyprus, every time you go back, Cyprus changes a little bit?
Exactly the same thing with Cyprus, unfortunately. But it is nice to catch up with them.
So what you do now is a little bit of, you still do your A to Z disco, you do karaoke.
Yes, and that's my full-time job, so I'm fully committed to that.
Yep, so, and basically at the moment you're at Boo Books there doing karaoke.
Yep.
And you've done the Gyra Bowling Club.
Yep.
So what is it about karaoke you think that that the audience like, that are attracted to karaoke? What is it?
Well, it's an outlet for them as well. They can get everything out. As I said, even subconsciously you sing songs that relate to your life, and it's an outlet. It's a great lot of fun just to meet new people. Like, if I didn't start the karaoke service, I would have been stuck at home doing nothing, so
I think that's important too, because you've actually created a bit more of a circle of friends by the people you've come into contact by doing the karaoke.
Oh, yes, for sure.
And I find that those karaoke audiences tended to be very inviting and friendly.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not like at the comedians, mm-hmm. where people are ribbing the comedian from the the stalls. Mm-hmm. Most people, well, I have never seen a karaoke thing where there's been sort of any bad behaviour, or they're very supportive.
Yes. Here in Bull Books especially, they're very supportive.
And I suppose that's part and parcel of it. Yeah, I think it's fantastic. So if we wanted to get your disco service,
yes,
to a 21st or an 18th or a wedding or whatever,
yep,
we'd go to Facebook.
Yes.
And Facebook AZ Disco.
Yep.
And then message you.
Yes. Or you can get in contact with me on my mobile, which is 0438713532.
That's great. What do you find about Armidale? You said you don't like the cold.
No, I don't. But it is quite pleasant in short distances to get from A to B. Loving it. Fresh air. I prefer the summer, but anyway.
I like the seasonality of Armidale. There's definitely four seasons. There's a definite winter, even though it's not as cold as other places in Europe and different places. You know, you've definitely got a summer. There's an autumn. You know, we've got so many coloured trees that come out.
Yes.
European trees. Well, Dinos, thank you very much for coming in today.
No worries, Herb. Thank you very much for inviting me.
No. And I'm sure we're up for a chat. And I said to you, next time you have a karaoke night, let us know where and when.
Wants to take us on. It's booming in town, and we'd like to have a family-orientated, friendly, safe, comfortable area to do our singing in.
Thank you for being on Spotlight. You're a gem in our community, been here a long time and contributed. It's what I try and do with Spotlight, is invite people who have contributed, and mostly quietly, contributed to our community and made it a better place for all of us to live. So I thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Dinos, and that's Community Spotlight.
Broadcast, then podcast. If you missed it or want to hear it again, then visit our webpage, 2arm.net.au/podcast. I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.